Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3 as we continue the study on the church of Sardis. Revelation chapter 3. As we have been, we're going to read down through the sixth verse. We just got through basically the first verse last week. We'll be reviewing part of that and then getting on to the study concerning be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. And so, Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you for this book that we have. From the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, we study it thoroughly, we study it through, we enjoy your precious word. We want to know your precious word. And we go over it again and again and again. And yet each time that we go over your precious word, we read those words, they speak to our hearts in a whole different way, because you'll give us the strength and the power for today, for what we need now. And Father, there is no teaching in all the world that can prepare us for tomorrow except you. And so please, that we depend upon you, we look to you, we ask you, we fellowship with you, we desire your will and way for our lives. And so please, dear Lord, speak to the hearts of the church today. And Father, those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, I just ask today that they'll hear your words. And today may be the first time that they finally heard, and they'll respond and they'll come. And so please, dear Lord, speak to the hearts of the lost that are here today, because we desire that no one be lost, no one. And dear Lord, we know that you died for all the world. And so there is no one here that has not got an opportunity to be saved. So please speak to the hearts, bring them to the cross of Calvary, show them their sin, and bring them to you, dear Lord, for salvation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we continue looking at this church of Sardis, this literal church, as all seven in John's day, were churches that existed in this region, and Paul was responsible for the birth of these churches, and they some directly, some indirectly. But as we come and we look at these locations, we need to see that all seven churches have some problems. Each have their own problem, and each have their own opportunity to serve and to repent of the failures that they have. Each have an opportunity to be restored into complete fellowship with God. Not one church here is exempt. But we see that many times as these churches continue to grow, and as we look at these churches, you know, we know that not only is it seven literal churches, but it's also is seven church ages that start at Pentecost and go through the rapture to the rapture. And so at the same time, if you really look at at history and look at the churches of the today, you could probably find all of these seven churches someplace today. And so not only is it seven church ages, but it is also seven literal churches of the day, and parts and things that are very similar still exist today. This church of Sardis, it is the beginning. We find the birth of this church is it comes together with the time of the Reformation, and that's the church age that we're looking at here. And you know, when we look at this this time, and we have left the church of Thyatira, which was prior to the Reformation, and as we look at the church of Thyatira, they were under the wicked rule of Rome, and as we see the beginning, the birth of Catholicism and the Pope and all those things were coming about at this time of the Church of Thyatira. And then we find a breaking away, and most of us connect that with Martin Luther as he begins that cutoff. There were others, there were many that made that decision of that time. We know that that this city was a very wealthy city due to the commerce, due to its location. We've talked about that. I want to identify once again the speaker. We don't want to miss who is speaking to us, and it's identified each time differently through the seven churches. And these things saith he that hath seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And so we've talked about that there is only one Holy Spirit, there is only one Spirit. We're baptized into one body by one Spirit. But here in Revelation, it speaks of seven spirits, and Isaiah really helps us to see that definition and helps us to understand, because Isaiah 11:2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." And so I have written them down, and fathers, this would be a wonderful way to lead our family and to be leaders of our church, is to follow this: the spirit of Jehovah, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of Jehovah. And so those are all the completeness, the fullness of the Spirit, as the Spirit ministers to us and brings us all that we need. And so the fullness of the Spirit of Christ that we have in him is ample strength and power and knowledge to do all that we need to do. And then it finishes off with the seven stars, and we looked at those as being the light bearers, and those that was responsible for to shine the light of Christ. We used some examples concerning the sun and the moon, and how that we are not of our own power, we are not of our own light, we are of the light of Christ, and we are to reflect him. And the only way that we can reflect the true light of Christ is if we're in direct contact with him. When the moon is the brightest, it is getting the largest shot of light from the sun, and it just glows. And there's some nights that you don't even need your headlights on your automobile, it's so bright out there. But we need to be that bright with the light of Christ. But the only way we can be that way is if we get a direct shot of light from him. If it bounces off two or three things, it's going to be pretty dim. We need to each know Jesus as our Savior and study his precious word and grow so that we will shine this light and be a good a reflector of this light to the people, not only here, but in the surrounding area and in all the world. And so with the seven spirits that's described here and the seven stars that we have here, again, all the light that is given to us by our Lord Jesus gives us every tool and all the energy that we need to perform what he has us to do. He will give us the tools and the energy to carry it out. And I love Colossians chapter 2, and if you go home this afternoon and read the 8th through the 10th verse, but I'll summarize it: in whom ye are complete. And that's that word, and it's Colossians 2, 8 through 10, in whom ye are complete. And he begins and says, I know thy works, as we come down to the lower part of verse 1 there. I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest, and thou art dead. It's sad to say that's the condition of many, many churches today. They have the name, they have the building, they have everything except Christ. They don't have the Lord Jesus. It's nothing more than a social group, and I'm sad to say that the Church of Sardis here is on a fast slide downward to that condition of no one in there that is born again, but they come and they hear the persecution, everything that's come about this church has literally died, and it's not long that history tells us that it did completely cease to exist. It just went away. As far as the true church was concerned. The Lord knows the condition of the hearts of the church. Now, we gave an example last week of the house. You know, you can have the most beautiful house. You can have it all decorated properly. You can have everything. But if you, as the owner of that house, do not have a heart of love and of compassion for seeing people saved, for growing, for desiring the Word of God, that house is just a house. It's a house with people in it. My friend, make it a house. Let's move it to a home. Let's make it a home where the heart or hearts within that home have a love for Jesus and a compassion for the Lord Jesus and love Him and want to share that with others. Be the light that we talked about earlier. You know, we talked about the house, we've talked about the car, we talked about our bodies, you know, and our bodies, we can fancy them all up. We can have the fanciest outfit on. We can do all those things. We can exercise. We can take care of all the things. But I tell you what, if your heart's cold, your heart's cold. And to make you an individual that's God-loving, that God loves, is an individual that loves God. So we need to, you know, it's God loved us first, yes, died for us, yes. But you really want to be in fellowship with the Lord, then you need to praise Him and honor Him and love Him. And all those things are wonderful. We take care of our bodies so well many times, but unless our heart is right, that's really all that counts, my friend. And so we need to look to the Lord. That's what God sees. That's what He looks into. This reformation that's taking place here in the Church of Sardis was a wonderful work. It was a godly work. It was a work that needed to be done. It's a work that needed to be taken out of the of Rome and begin to set things right and do things right. And many godly men stepped out with their life on the edge. Their life could have been taken for what they have done. It's kind of like the fathers of our country, you know, when they stood up and stood for the truth and what was right. Why they could have, they were hunted down to be put to death. And so as we find these men were the same, and they stood because they stood for the Word of God. But sad to say that with this, many of those that followed out and came out of this Reformation brought several of their ways with them. And it wasn't long that the offspring was called Protestantism, and that Protestantism is a human system. And when these leaders that broke away from Rome, when they died, it seemed like that ushered in kind of a formal way of religion. And sad to say, it's a lifeless religion. And so the result of the Reformation turned out to be, as we said last week, a spiritual slumber. And that's the condition of the church today. We are asleep. Instead of searching the scriptures, they fell back into tradition. The spiritual power was gone, and soon the church that had a name that said it was alive was dead. And that's the condition of the Church of Sardis. In a very short period of time, they went from life to death. because they followed after man and not after the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so God's Word to them is, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. That tells us right there the condition of the church of Sardis. Let's watch and let's strengthen these things because that remain, the things that you know, the truths that you've been taught. Let's get up and stand on them. Because if you don't, because you are ready to die, you've heard people say you got one foot in the grave. Well, that was this condition of the church. They had one foot in the grave. Now, God could resurrect them, but it was going to be their doing and whether that would happen or not. We are to watch. We are to watch with diligence. This word, be watchful. You always get a little surprised when sometimes you look some words up in the Greek or the Hebrew to find their meaning. It says to wake up. We are like a bear. This is my description here somewhat, but like a bear that's going to go into hibernation. That's the condition that we're in. We are to wake up. Wake up from sleep, from sitting or lying, from disease or from death, from obscurity, from inactive activity, from ruin. We are to wake, to awaken, to rise again, to rear up, to stand, to take up. That's the definition of being watchful. To be watchful is not to sit and just stare. To watchful is to take up, and to rear up, to stand, to work, to be active, to be in service. We're to be watchful. We're to be so busy about doing the Lord's work because He is coming and He's coming soon. And we find we are not to sleep as others do. We are to be alert. Mark 13:33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. And as we look at the verse before that in Mark, it's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we ever think that He's coming? Or do we just think about today and what I've got to get done today and where I need to be today and all the worries and the troubles of today? How would your day change if you woke up first thing in the morning and thought about in the middle of the morning and the noon and at middle afternoon, the evening? Truly think He could come right now. There is not one thing that's keeping our Lord from coming. Not one thing. We have been studying Daniel and looking, and we've had history lesson after history lesson, but now we're getting to the place where we're going to look at what's to come. Because we've come through history in the Word of God. We're still in the book of Daniel. But we've studied through history, but we're to where Daniel begins about talking about something that's coming in our future. And the control of the worlds and who the powers are going to be. And how the stone cut out without hands is going to come and crush. Oh, the victory's coming. But understand, He's going to come get us first, before that tribulation starts. Ephesians 6:18, pray and watching. How many Christians today, born again believers, are alert, are looking for His return in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Scripture tells us. Be ready. Very little life remained in this church of Sardis. And it could probably be said about many places today. It was rapidly dying. So when it says here, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Strengthen. You know, no matter how ready a person is to die. You know Jesus? You're excited about seeing Him? But you don't really think He's going to come before you die? No matter how ready you are to die, no one wants to die. We want to live. We want to do one more thing. Is it because we love this world too much sometimes? Or is it because we have one more person that we want to share the gospel with? We just haven't had that opportunity and we don't want to leave this world till we do. We don't want to leave this world till we do. What's going to awaken us? There is so little life here. Does it mind dying? I've never stood before the bed of anyone that gave up and died. Yes, they died. Yes, they were ready in most cases. They knew the Lord Jesus. But they still hung on to that breath. They'd take one more breath, and then it would be for a long period of time. And even when you hear that death rattle, it's just one more breath is coming. The old body just doesn't want to give up. It just doesn't want to give up. Oh, if the church would have that same life, we're never going to give up. We're never going to lay down and die. And yet in most cases, most churches don't realize that they are already dead. The life that they're producing is a life that is humanistic and a life that's driven by man and not driven by the Spirit of God. They bring in all the things of the world and to make it exciting because the Spirit of God is not touching the hearts of the people. So they got to bring something in to bring the people in, otherwise they won't come. Well, if the Spirit of God can't bring you in, there's nothing else going to work, my friend. It's got to be the Word of God. It's got to be the power of God. Got to be the Spirit of God. There's not much left in Sardis. It's rapidly dying. Strengthen yourself with the things that remain. As I said at the very beginning, there was not one church that God did not give all the power and the opportunity to repent and to come back to life. But they don't. They just die. They just die. We need to realize that the Spirit of God is the one that gives us life. We need to be producers of fruit. This church, their fruit, as Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tells us, this fruit that they're producing has become so tiny and so wormy that it's just falling off the trees. It's dying prematurely. The love and joy and peace and long-suffering, all that's going away. It's going to be gone without a trace. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. You're not preaching the gospel. You're not teaching people how to grow. And you know, we can die as a church. Or you can die as an individual. It's your choice. It's our choice. And it's all set upon what you do with the Word of God and the Spirit of God as He teaches you the truth. Are you dying or are you living? And I'm not talking about your age. The older we get, the more alive we ought to be. It's the way it ought to work. It's the way God wants us to work. Because then when all those aches and pains come, He gives us the strength to bear them and to go on. And to still find joy in this life. It's our choice. As we had a choice of salvation, so do we have a choice to serve Him and to praise Him and to grow with Him. Verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. See, it always comes back to the Word of God. It always comes back to the Word of God. You remember what you've heard. You remember what you've learned. Remember the first church, Church of Ephesus? Restore, bring back to me the love that I once had for you. Is that what we need to do today? Or are we willing just to lay down and die? Church of Ephesus would say, remember. And that's chapter 2, verse 5. Sardis here, once again, remember. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast to that. And not only hold fast, but what are they called to do? There's a problem in this dying church of Sardis. They have become so formal and everything is so right to the world. User-friendly, you might call it. That they don't realize that they're dying. And we need to remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast. And then He calls them to repent. He calls them to repent. Turn back to me. Turn back to me. When we were studying there Wednesday night, why, that first verse, the first couple of verses, we actually read three verses. We just kind of got through the first verse. But it speaks of who you run around with. And it speaks of a division that people need to make from the world. And we made an example, and that is that, okay, you're right here and here. Best of friends. You get saved. So you start going this way, your friend is still going that way. And you're going this way, and this way, and this way, and this way, and this way. And all of a sudden, you decide that you want fellowship with your old friend. Oh, your friend rushes over to you. No. You have got to turn around, get all the way back here. And if you start having fellowship with an old friend that's still lost, who left the Lord? They didn't come to meet you. You came to meet them. And you need to be careful that you desire some old friendships that you had in the world. We're separate ourselves. We walk the other way. And we're walking the opposite direction. Our paths don't cross, my friend. And if they cross, it's because the Lord is dealing with this person, or should be, dealing with this person and bringing them this way. So be careful with your fellowships. If they do not, as the third says, the third verse says, if they do not remember, if they do not repent, they do not watch, Jesus will come as a thief and judge them. Instead of a word of praise to this church standing alone, most churches worry about numbers. You worry about souls, not numbers. We need to look each day praising the Lord because knowing He's true, turning to Him. Unless they repent, He will come to them as a judge. And when he comes to them as a judge, it will be unknown, unlooked for, and unexpected. Judgment will come upon this church of Sardis if they don't turn. What we've seen in this church of Sardis, that this human term called Protestantism, the Protestants and broke away from the Catholics and made a tremendous breakaway. But if you look today, they're not far behind each other. They've come together. And so we could even say that whether it's Protestantism or Catholicism or whatever ism you want to use, the world has stayed where the world has always been. But now the church, the isms, have moved in and joined the world. And so they're together. Will you all agree that the world's going to be judged? Well, what happens if the church is side by side of the world? You expect equal judgment, wouldn't you? Yes, you would. And that's what's going to happen. Judgment's going to come. It's going to come as a thief in the night. So the church and the world are walking together. The world has not changed, but the church has fallen. So the church will suffer equal judgment as a thief in the night. The end of the church, when we say a church, it's not saved people. It's just an organization. The end of the church will be a devastating judgment. And that judgment will be headed up by none other than the Lord Jesus himself. But we find in the fourth verse, and we'll quit here. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. There's a few that have held the fruit of the Spirit. There's a few that are truly saved, born again. They are weak, but they're there. There's always been a true remnant. Always. The days of Noah, there was a remnant. There was only eight left. You look at Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley, where we find a regional destruction. We find a witness there. A poor one, but a witness there. And it was three. It was three. There is always, always this witness, this testimony. Never is there a time that God doesn't keep a remnant. But you know, we always look at Noah and at Lot because it says, as of in the days of Noah. We always look at the type of activities and the condition of the world, knowing that God's going to come. But you know, maybe there's a second part to this that we need to look at. And that is that how many's here that's actually saved at the end? In Noah's case, there was just eight. I don't see anywhere in the Scripture that tells us we're going to have a great revival to the end, at the end. I don't see that. God can bring it if he chooses to. Surely he can, and I hope he does. I see the great calling out of the nation of Israel during the tribulation period, but I don't see a great revival in the Gentiles. I think there's just going to be a small remnant that's saved, that's going to go home, and it's going to be earth-shattering at how few leave. They talk about how everything is going to change the day that the rapture takes place. I don't believe there's going to be all that much change, because I don't think there's many of us that know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Could it be in the days of Noah? In the days of Lot, just a remnant. The church of Sardis was, there's a few, just a few names that have not changed, just a few. The growing churches today, as the church of Sardis, has a name, has worldly activities, But when it comes to the truth and the presence of God, God, all-knowing, says, you're dead. Now, what condition are we in? Are we dying? Strengthen yourself. Be watchful. Grab a hold of the things that remain because you're ready to die. Or do we have a love for Jesus and a desire that this church grow in strength and in power, reaching people for the Lord Jesus? Today, as we're awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus, God asks in His Word, when Jesus returns to this earth, will He find faith? Now, if there was going to be a great revival and most of the world saved before the rapture, I don't believe He'd have said that. I think He watches. He's so sad to see multitudes die without Him, without making a choice for Jesus. A few names, a few that are born again, genuinely saved. I'll close with one statement. There are many professors, but few possessors. Do you understand that? Many say they know Jesus, but few possess Jesus as their Savior. So sad. The church of Sardis just dies away. God calls them to repent, but they don't. God calls us. But are we going to just, you know, kind of come and go and when it's handy? Are we going to take the work of God seriously? The service of God seriously? It doesn't matter whether we're fathers or men or mothers or women, or it doesn't matter. We need to take the Word of God seriously. Strengthen ourselves. Be watchful. He is coming, and He is coming soon. Will you be one that shall walk with me in white? For you're worthy. Is that going to be you? Is that going to be me? That's the close of verse 4. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank You today that we can come and enjoy Your precious Word. Speak to our hearts, dear Father. Speak to every one of us. Show us Your way and Your will and Your strength and Your power. And help us to turn to You. Help us to walk with You. Help us to know You as our Savior. All comes from You, every part of it. The very ability to breathe is God-given. We read this morning downstairs, Lord, where Nebuchadnezzar gave You the honor of being the Lord. The problem is with Nebuchadnezzar, he said, Daniel, your God is king. Your God is Lord. How many do we have here today that would say the same thing? Your God, because they don't know You as their Savior, don't know You personally. Please, dear Lord, touch every heart today. Change our lives. Help us to be watchful. Strengthen us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.